The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
I don't care where you are or what you're doing, you need the Lord to speak. In this world that we're living in, there seems to be one particular voice that wants to speak on all of our behalf. There seems to be one particular voice, whether through the news media or social media, that wants to be the voice to speak into all of our ears. But you better ask God to speak. You better ask God to speak to your heart. You better ask Him to speak. Speak to your heart and your mind and to your spirit. Right now, dear God, speak to somebody's disquieted spirit right now. Speak to somebody's doubt, somebody's fear, somebody's worry. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak. Speak to somebody who's unsure. Speak to somebody who has a concern. Amen. 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 Somebody's worried about whether it's a doctor's report, waiting on some sort of answer to a question. Speak, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Speak. And even now, as we prepare to hear word from you, we need you to speak. Speak into somebody's circumstance, their situation right now in the name of Jesus. Speak hope and healing and salvation right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, even when we cannot speak, you speak. Sometimes, Lord, all we can do is just wave our hand. But Lord, you said you could even interpret that. Every now and then, all we can do is moan. But you said you can interpret that. Speak. You said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Amen. Speak. Lord, if we ever needed to hear a word from you, surely, surely, we need to hear a word from you right now. So, Lord, even as I stand as your vessel, Lord, I thank you for the many, many years of blessing. Not just these 12 years, but, Lord, each and every one of us down through the years, you've been good to us. You've been better to us than we deserve. You've been better to us than we could ever be to ourselves. You've been so good to us in spite of us. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, awesome plan of salvation. For, Lord, we needed a Savior. We could not and we still cannot save ourselves. So we thank you for that. Lord, we've made mistakes. We've done wrong. But we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, whether we knew or things that we didn't even know that we did, but you know all about. Lord, just one step outside of your will is too far. But Lord, we thank you for your patience and for your long suffering with us. You love us so much that you gave your only begotten Son to die for the sins of the entire world. Now, Lord, on this day, we celebrate your goodness. I'm grateful, but we celebrate and appreciate you. We celebrate and appreciate one another. We celebrate and appreciate you, your Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, as I stand as your vessel in this your house, this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. So, Lord, even as I stand as your under shepherd, you will always remain the great shepherd. Speak to these, your sheep, your people. So as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. Hide me that you would be seen, and silence me that you would be heard. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. It is truly in Jesus' name, and for Christ's sake, that we pray. Let every heart all together say, amen. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Verses 1 through 10, the New International Version. You can please stand to your feet. I'll make sure to reiterate this when we have our altar call prayer, but Sister Julia Johnson is asking for the prayers of this, her home church. She's asking to keep her and her family in prayer. Her mother is in hospice in Philadelphia. So even as God has repotted and replanted her, she sent a prayer request home. So she's asking that we would pray for her and with her. And for now, that's the current status, and we leave it in God's hand. Amen. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 10. If you're physically able to stand, I'm going to ask that you do so. If you're not, we certainly understand. The New International Version of the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Verse 7 said, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, or come, breathe. Breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as it commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. For just a little while on this day of celebration and culmination, on this the Lord's Day, I want to preach from the subject, armed and dangerous. Armed and dangerous. You may be seated in the presence of our God, armed and dangerous. Correct me if I'm wrong, but in most cases, when we hear preaching, teaching, or just some speaking from Ezekiel 37, it's used to speak to us of the power of God reviving, resurrecting, and restoring. This text shows us how our God can move into the graveyard of our lives and resurrect dreams and visions, how he can step into the middle of your chaos and confusion and bring some order and peace. Am I talking to somebody that's alive in here today? Come on, somebody. We see God take nothing, and through the process of hearing the word of God and the operation of the Holy Spirit, turn nothing into something great and powerful. Each time, Sister Stephanie, we labor with great diligence and attention to detail to show how the valley is full of dry, desolate, broken, separated bones, and how they are transformed into the final product of a mighty army, standing on their feet and ready for service. But here we is, Minister Lucky. A lot of times we then close the message, you know. A lot of folk just read the script and they get to tuning up. They close the message and they close the Bible shouting, and don't get me wrong, I believe in the shout, shouting about the miracle that was in the valley of dry bones. Then we go home. Amen. Sent an email early this morning, sent it to my media team trying to get them the notes, but I told them, and I apologized in advance. I said, listen, I have to apologize because the Lord had me to take, and I had to make a different direction. I had to take a turn, amen, and I said I had to follow it. So I apologized to them, so don't y'all worry. Y'all got your Bibles, right? Amen. You got pen and paper, right? And we got the Holy Spirit. Somebody give God a hard hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 So I had to take a different direction because, watch this, I want to start the message where it usually ends. Teach, Holy Ghost. I'm not standing here today, Sister Graham, on this occasion to preach about the dry bones. Mm-mm. God Almighty. And I'm not even here, Sister Joy, to even talk about dry bones. I'm not going to talk them out. I'm not even prophesying to. Dry bones, help me, Lord. I thank God, amen, for the anointing of teaching and preaching. But I'm also a watchman on the wall. Amen. I'm a watchman on the wall. And I'm here today, Brother Miller, to speak a word to the army of God. Amen. Somebody shout, armed and dangerous. Amen. I've come to talk to the army of God. God has sent me here, Keeling, to speak to you and men of God and you women of God and you children of God. Amen. God has called us from every circumstance, condition, and position, and thus he's already anointed and appointed us for such a time as this. And oh, what times we are living in today. Today, I'm not speaking to the depressed and distressed. Come on, somebody. I'm not speaking to the fretful and the fearful. I'm not speaking to the wounded and the worried. Come on, somebody. I'm not coming across to be cynical, and I don't want to be insensitive or uncaring because I do care. But man of God, woman of God, child of God, the hand of the Lord that is upon me, he who has brought me out by his spirit, teach God, and set me in this place for 12 years and going on 13, amen, has thus focused my spirit on today, on another class of people. Amen. I've come to speak to another class of people here today. What do you mean, Pastor King? What I mean is we aren't the same people that we were 12 years ago. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't hearing me up in here. I'm not the same pastor preacher that I was 12 years ago. My assignment today is not to dry bones. My assignment is to the army of God. Amen. Amen. So that begs the question. I think they was wrestling with it this morning. That begs the question, who is the army of the Lord? Well, the army of the Lord, if you take a note, you can write this down. The army of the Lord is a rare breed who have learned to be soldiers. Good God Almighty. I said the army of God is a rare breed of people who have learned to be soldiers. What are you saying about that? I see some folk crinkling their heads. Well, here it is. We got a whole lot of saints in the church, but we don't have a lot of soldiers. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't hear me. We got a lot of saints, but we don't have a lot of soldiers. We got saints holding down the fort, but we don't have soldiers possessing the land. God. God said, it's time. It's time for the army of the Lord to come to attention. The adversity is great, yes. The conditions are hard, yes. And they're very difficult. But Sister Farish, this ain't our first rodeo. We've been bred for this battle. You thought the last thing was gonna kill you, but you've been there, done that, amen. You thought the last thing was gonna take you out, but you've been bred for this battle because you are now armed and dangerous. Yes, yes, yes. There will always be dry bones who need a prophet who will see the plan of God, and prophecy needs to come about to bring restoration and transformation. But I'm here to speak to you today. You are the army of God. And God said to tell you that this is your year. You don't have to see, some of y'all can't wait until New Year's Eve. No, this is your year right now. This is your year, this is your time, and this is our hour of power. God said, watch this. God said, there's some stuff you praying about. He said, I've already raised you up out of the valley of dry bones. He's already strengthened you, and he's nourished you by his word. The wind of the Holy Spirit has already filled your life and stood you up on your feet. So now it's time for you to fulfill your purpose and your destiny. Amen. You are already God's hand and feet in the earth. You are already the agents of change and deliverance of God that he wants to bring to his people. It was already said of the early church, they have turned the world upside down. It was God's mighty power flowing through yielded vessels that broke Satan's strongholds, who were raised up and were used in the establishment of the kingdom of God. Well, guess what? The baton has been passed. Amen. The mantle has fallen now on you and I, or this generation. While there are a whole lot, I said it earlier before, while there are plenty of men and women of God in our church's history and in the universal church's history, amen, whose shoulders that we've stood on, who have since gone on home to glory, they've since been called home, amen. Now it's our turn. It's our turn now. It's our turn to pick up the banner and run with it. We are those who've been anointed to break through and to set the captives free. We are the anointed to bring deliverance to the bound and the oppressed. You can't always be bound and oppressed, and you're supposed to be setting the oppressed free. God said in Jeremiah 51, 20 and 21, he says, you are my war club, my weapon for battle. With you I shatter nations. With you I destroy kingdoms. With you I shatter horse and rider. With you I shatter chariot and driver, such is the word of God. He said, with you I can do these things. You got to be a Bible reader. Amen. Got to know what thus saith the Lord. Isaiah 41, 15 said, behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small and shall make the hills as a cliff. What does it mean to have some teeth? That means we're not all talk. We're not all hot air. That means we got some bite, amen. And we got some power to back it up. Amen, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 said, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but power. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive, I got to have some Bible readers in here. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That's what y'all was wrestling with. We got a lot of folk talking full of air. But you can talk and still not have no Holy Ghost in you. You got to have some power that comes from within to show without. Amen. Wherever the kingdom of God is, there will be a manifestation of the power of God. Romans 14 and 17 says, for the kingdom of God, watch this, is not a matter of eating and drinking. We did good on yesterday, but we got to have some power to go with it. Come on, somebody. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, watch this, but of righteousness, peace, and joy, watch this, in the Holy Spirit. Then listen what Jesus said. In Luke 17, 21, he says, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God, watch this, is within you. We are the army of God. We have been delivered from the hand of the enemy. We have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Thus, we have the power to do what God has called us to do for him in these last days. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, we're armed and dangerous. Some of y'all nervous about that. Huh? Some of y'all said, no, really, I am armed. Conceal and carry. Listen, God didn't call us into a service and send us into warfare without weapons. Y'all didn't hear me. I said God didn't call us into warfare and send us out without weapons. For not only does he describe our armor in Ephesians 6, 13 through 18, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, matter of fact, I need you to turn there right now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, he tells us about the weapons. Good God Almighty. He tells us about the weapons that he gave us. I love being dressed for war, but when you dress for war, you just dress to take on the hits. But too many of us are taking hits. We're not fighting back. You got some weapons. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5, he tells us what they're supposed to be used for. Amen. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. What for? For the pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, in this battle, this spiritual warfare, we actually have the advantage. Amen. Amen. That's why the Bible says the we're the head and not the what? Good God Almighty, because we got the advantage. You got to know what position you fighting from. We always fighting for, come on somebody, we're always fighting for our rights. We're always fighting for our reputation and our character. Now, you don't have to fight for it. Know what position you fighting from. We are already fighting from a position of victory. We got the advantage. In other words, we've been given some weapons that the devil himself has no defense against. What are you saying, Pastor King? I don't understand. Well, let me help you a little bit. Let me help you a little bit here. First of all, take the notes and write this down. What are some of the weapons of warfare that we have? First of all, we got the weapon of the name of Jesus.
good God Almighty, we got the weapon of the name of Jesus. The Bible says that name is above every name. That name holds power. Watch this, in not this world, in three worlds. Come on, somebody. In heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. Matter of fact, when you got time, read Philippians chapter 2, 9 through 11, and you're going to know this ain't just the king talking, it's the King of Kings talking. Amen. That we got the weapon of the name of Jesus. Amen. Wait a minute. But not only do we have the name of Jesus, can I tell you about another weapon? We got the weapon of the blood of Jesus. Good God Almighty. Y'all can't hear. I don't hear me in here. We got the name of Jesus and we got the blood of Jesus. There's protection through the blood. There is healing through the blood. There's deliverance through the blood. There's cleansing for your conscience through the blood. There's access into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. Matter of fact, there's overcoming power through the blood of Jesus. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their what? Y'all, I need some Bible readers and the word of their testimony. You can't have a testimony without a test, and you have come through it, and so now you got a testimony, but not because of your strength, but because of the blood of Jesus. Talking about weapons that we have, that we've been given, that I said the devil has no defense against. Can I tell you about another one? We got the name of Jesus, we got the blood of Jesus, and we got the weapon of the word of God. The same word that God used to create the universe. the same word that Jesus used to cast out devils and heal the sick. The same word that Jesus used to open up blinded eyes, unstop deaf ears. We have the same word. We have the same word. There's healing in the power of the word of God. There's deliverance in the power of the word of God. How do you know? Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Amen. Thus is the word of God. Can I tell you about another one? Here's one that we have, and we don't use it enough on Sunday. We have the weapon of praise. Praise is such a powerful weapon that even a prison, y'all don't hear me in here, couldn't hold the ones who dared to praise God in the midnight hour. Praise. Praise will knock down some walls. Praise. Praise will open up some prison doors. Praise will set some captives free. Praise will bring divine assistance into your battle. Praise will even confuse your enemies. The reason why your enemies ain't messing with you is not because we so big and bad. It's because in the midst of it, I can praise my God, and that will confuse your enemies. God Almighty, we don't use enough of our weapons of warfare. We always stay worried. We got weapons. Got one more. Prayer and fasting. I declare that these two weapons right here are probably the most neglected. Isaiah 58 and 6 tells us of the power in a fast. Isaiah 58 and 6 says, is not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? I'm in the midst of a social media fast right now. I've had folk reach out. Listen, I got so active on social media that when I got inactive, some people sent me a note saying, is everything okay?
Are you all right? That told me something right there. We got to make sure that we back away from the wrong kind of noise and get right into the presence of God. We got a whole lot of activity. We got a whole lot of busyness. But God says, you got to get down to my business. And sometimes you don't know the business of God until you hear from God himself. And he don't always come in a loud, thunderous roar. Sometimes he is a still, small voice. And you can't hear. Sometimes you got to tell some folk to shh. You got folk going psst, psst. And you need to say shh. Prayer and fasting. Not all fasting is food. Now, I didn't tell some of y'all that so y'all could gorge. But I said that to say that the fast is not for you to fast food. This ain't about you going on a diet. It's about the divine. That's not what this is about. You're going to have to give up some stuff. You're going to have to pray and ask God, what is it that seems to have your attention more than him? If you're always jumping and reacting every time you get a bing or hear a ting or see something light up, you got a problem. And when there are too many folk who can say something to you that gets you out of your mood or your spirit, they got too much control. Even the doctor that doesn't give you the report that you think you want to hear, that you've given them too much control. We got to be praying and fasting. And it took Isaiah 58 and 6 to remind us about the power of the fast. What is some stuff? You quit trying to put everything into your New Year's resolutions. We might not see the end of this year. So while we got time now, we need to make sure that we stay in alignment with the will of God. And so there might be some stuff you're going to have to shut down, shut out, or tell them to shut, uh-oh. Yeah. And it might be a person, a place, or a thing. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Watch this. To loose the bonds of wickedness. I put it in the pastor's pen. We become a whole lot like the folk that we hang out with. And sometimes you can listen to some folk and just close your eyes and know where they just came from, who they just were talking to, or what they were just doing. And it don't make sense when some folk are talking. You say, well, where did you hear that? And their first response is Facebook, Twitter. What? And now, even when there's truth that comes out, we got the one voice that speaks for everybody, that now all of the response is, when you say something, they say, that's fake news. Fake news, fake news, fake news. What's happened is we don't even know what is fake and what's for real. I'm not putting this on that one person. I'm talking about the devil. The devil uses any of us to distort the truth. The Bible says he imitates the angel of light. So we got to be careful. It says to loose the bonds of wickedness.
comma. That means he's not done. Then it says to undo the heavy burdens. We got some stuff, Bill, that we're carrying around that God said, I didn't put that on you. You put that on yourself. You keep saying the Lord don't give us no more than we can bear. That's why quoting scripture doesn't mean you understand what scripture means. The Lord don't give us more than we can bear. I get it, but there's some stuff we're bearing that God said, I didn't give to you. That's why he said, we need to have a yoke exchange. You carrying some yokes that you don't need to carry. He said, listen, what you talking about, all this burden, and you talking about the Lord, the Lord don't put no more on us than we can bear. He said, He said, my yoke is easy. You got to know some word. He said, my yoke is easy and my burdens are what? Come on, somebody. Then in Isaiah 56, then there's another comma. Then it says to let the oppressed go free. We got folk who are saved, but they still acting oppressed. That might be an oxymoron. You can't stay as depressed and oppressed and down, and you a child of God. Not like that. I'm not saying we don't have trouble. I'm not saying that we don't have trials and tribulations. Jesus said that. He said, in this life, you will endure. But you can't be always so oppressed that you're not free in your heart and your mind, in your spirit. And it just might be we holding on to some stuff. We haven't confessed some stuff. We haven't repented of some stuff. Or we just haven't let some stuff go. He said to let the oppressed go free. Wait a minute. Comma. It says and. Y'all remember that conjunction, right? And. That means they all hook together. Because he says, and that you break every yoke. We are yoked up with some stuff that's pulling us in some direction that we don't want to go. And sometimes the reason that happens is when you think about two bulls or two things that are yoked together, the one that's the strongest will be the one that pulls you. And there's some stuff that the Lord sent me here to tell somebody that's pulling you in the wrong direction. It's pulling you to the wrong mindset. It's pulling you to the wrong attitude. It's pulling you to the wrong understanding about who God is, about what God can do, and what God really means to you. That's a weapon that we got to make sure we use. Prayer is powerful, but in essence, fasting multiplies and magnifies the power and the effect of prayer. So I get ready to close. Army of the Lord, you are called, you are chosen, you are anointed. You are armed and dangerous. And that means you have the advantage. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he in a sense that is in you than he that is in the world. I stand this morning to say this. The devil underestimated you. Some of y'all didn't receive that well enough. But the devil underestimated you. I'm going to stand here and declare the devil underestimated me. Come on, somebody. As a matter of fact, collectively, he underestimated us. We're not some weak-kneed, limp, defeated, discouraged, beat down, head hanging in the dirt, bunch of believers just trying to hold the fort until Jesus comes. God Almighty. No, we are the army of God. We are armed and dangerous, and we are possessing the land. We're not coming, however, in our own authority. We're not coming on our own power. We're not even coming in our own name. But we are coming and going in the name of Jesus. And we are coming in the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And amen. Wait a minute. If you're willing to stand, but I feel a mighty army rising in the spirit. I feel a fight coming back to somebody in here. I feel somebody is jumping back in the battle right now. Somebody I'm talking to, you've had the breath knocked out of you. You took a good hit. The devil hit you physically and emotionally, relationally, financially. He hit you in every way he could. He hit your family. He hit your church. He hit your ministry. He hit your hope. He hit your desires. He hit your dreams and your vision. He hit you wherever it is that he felt he could hurt you, and he even knocked you down. But guess what? He thought he took you out the last time. But tell somebody, I'm still here. I'm still here. And I'm standing on my feet right now. I'm no longer broken in the valley of dry bones. I have been brought together, and I'm raised up, and I stand with the army of the Lord, the vast army of the Lord. That's right. You on your feet again. You got your fight back. Come on, somebody. You got your gumption back. Amen. By the unction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Why? Because I got my breath back. The Bible says he breathed, that the breath came. Been winded, doubled over. Did the standing eight count. But you're still here. You said, no, don't you ring that bell yet. And if you did ring the bell, this is a 16-round fight. Matter of fact, as the world woke me up this morning, guess what? We got to go another round, devil. Come on. Amen, amen, and amen. Guess what? We're going to go another round. Because I'm armed and I'm dangerous. But not because I say so, but because of what God has done. It's because of what God has done and what he continues to do. Reputation is what other folks say about you. And that can change with the wind. But character is just who you are. It's who we are and supposed to be even when nobody's looking. But the mighty who's always looking is God. He sees and he knows all. So there's some times when we don't think that we can take another step. There's some times that we don't think that we can do another thing. And sometimes we say, Lord, it's not just one thing, it's one more. And we ask God, Lord, how is it that you sent this now? Matter of fact, at all, knowing everything that I'm going through, knowing everything that I'm dealing with. And he said, because the stuff I send you is to grow you, to strengthen you. But there's some stuff you've taken on
that you took on your own, that the devil dangled out there in front of you. And I always go back to this. It's just the beginning in Genesis. When the devil said to Eve, did God really say that you wouldn't die? Or did God really say that you would die? And the Bible says that when she looked at the fruit, that it was pleasing to the eye. And the Bible says she took up the fruit and she even gave it to Adam. And there's some stuff that the devil has dangled in front of us that we know is not right for us, is not good for us, or we're worried about whether or not this is really from God or not. But you know, and unfortunately, while Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and I heard a singing about it, about the voice of God. But isn't it amazing how Eve listened to the voice of the devil? But not only did she take of it, it brought sin in the whole house. So I'm talking to somebody that you got to be careful saying this is your life. It's my life and I'll do with it what I want to do, because there are folk who will be affected by the things that you do. So be careful. But also don't think that just because you did it and you think it's right, that it's right for everybody else. But make sure you're praying and fasting. Make sure you know not just about the name of Jesus, but you can declare and call on the name of Jesus as his child. And make sure you don't just know about the blood, but you are covered by the blood of Jesus. And make sure you ain't just carrying the word of God up under your arm or on your tablet or your phone. I don't care how much software you buy, how many websites you save to your favorites, and how many times you can go and look up scripture. You better have some scripture hid in your heart. Even David said that I might not sin. Armed and dangerous. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.